Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kentuckiana Travel Ball Podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by GuardianBaseball.com. Shop for top baseball and softball gear, locally owned, free shipping, free returns. Use the code Kentuckiana Travel Ball for an additional 15% off. Once again, Guardian Baseball is locally owned. It is baseball people. They know the baseball gear. They know the baseball world. Please go to Guardian.com to at least price out your baseball needs. We have the Easton Hype Bat Giveaway as well that Guardian is sponsoring. Thank you to Easton. Thank you to Guardian. I'll have the description where you need to go to fill out your information. You could sign up to win an Easton Hype Bat. You will choose from a U-Trip or a BB Corps certification. Guardian Baseball, Kentuckiana Podcast, Easton, giving stuff away.
That gets me hyped up.
Yeah, man.
Tell you what.
I'm your host, T. Ridge. As always, I'm joined by Rick Hines. We've got a special guest in the studio today, Mr. Jalen Spaulding. What's up, Jalen?
Hey.
So we're excited to do this. We actually, you know, look, man. So the travel ball world, there is a lot of stuff where, you know, you see guys that these coaches get into it, and you see these videos of fights and all the things. Man, I will tell you, in the 12U range, there's a lot of good people, a lot of good coaches. Like, we're playing Jalen's team tonight. We've had some matches. We've had some battles out on the field. You know, but we're all friends, and you know, we're all here to help each other and try to improve each other's kids and games. And I know there's been times where, you know, a kid will do something in a game, and Jalen may mention something to one of our kids. It's coaching our kids up, and, you know, we do the same. You know, I think a ton from a lot of kids on his team. So, you know, there's a lot of that that goes on in travel ball as well. So there's some, you know, that's the cool part that people don't ever talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So, Jalen, tell me a little bit about your baseball background first, and then we'll get into your elite teams.
Well, I think the cool thing is I grew up in Fern Creek, played through the Fern Creek Optimist program, then turned around and was on that first Fern Creek Fire team to come out of Fern Creek.
Okay, the first travel team?
First travel team out of Fern Creek.
Okay.
So a lot of my loyalty lies in the Fern Creek area.
Yep, understood.
Went to TMS, played at TMS, went to Mayo, played for Coach Driscoll at Mayo.
Okay.
Went through that program, left my junior year and went out to Collins.
I was going to say, because I thought that just shocked me because I thought you played at Collins. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Left there, went to Collins and played out there with Coach Bailey my junior and senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually signed a football scholarship.
Okay.
So went to Lindsey Wilson, got hurt, came home. Got in touch with Coach Real out of IU Southeast.
Yep.
Went from there. Didn't even try out there. Woke up one morning, said I was going to go try out for the Reds just for fun, just see what would happen.
Cincinnati Reds.
Cincinnati Reds, the free open tryout.
Yeah.
At the Bats.
Oh, okay.
The Bats.
Yeah.
The Bats Stadium.
Right.
Went there. Made it to like the last 25, 30 people there.
Nice.
So then I got invited down to play in the South Florida Winter League.
Okay.
Down in Florida. So I did that for 4 or 5 months.
So what position did you play in baseball?
High school, I caught.
Okay.
I've caught my entire life. After my knee surgery, I decided to play third base.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to have time to run around.
When did you have your knee surgery?
2012.
Okay.
Got MR MRSA.
Yep.
In my right knee.
Awesome.
So came home. Had a doctor coming in twice a day for 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Lost scholarship, Lindsey Wilson, all that good stuff. So
fun.
After South Florida, I decided to start elite. So
okay, all right. So there's the journey. So
that's where we're at now.
I dig it. So what position do you play in football?
Tight end, slot receiver, and defense end.
Nice. Yeah, all right. So,
cool. 260 tight end.
Nice. Well, hey, you know, if you can run,
that's
where it's at, right? Yeah. There's the bigger dudes that can move. That's the value of being a tight end. Now, tell us a little bit about your elite program.
Started in 2018.
And you started it, right?
Started it from the ground up. The only thing I didn't start was the name.
Okay.
Louisville Elite Baseball Club. Shout out to Jimmy Fowl. I actually had to go through a bunch of clearance with the IRS and the trademark.
Yeah, for sure.
And,
yep.
Okay.
And it helps that I know Jimmy.
Yeah.
So I called him. He was thrilled. So got all that cleared.
Okay.
Actually started with 6 kids.
All right.
6 kids at our first tryout. So over the three
It's
years,
hard to build a program out of nowhere.
It is, especially because travel ball is so well known.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have an established organization, you're not getting kids.
Yeah.
So we had six kids, and then here we are going on year four, and we've got 94, 95 kids.
All right, now you have teams at what levels?
We have 7U, 8U, 9U, 10U, two 12Us, a 13U, and a 14U.
So what's interesting to me is I get, you know, obviously you are the head coach of the 12U team. Now, do you head coach any of the other ones?
7U now because my son is actually playing.
Gotcha. Yeah. So how did like your, now the older teams are interesting to me. So how did your 13 and 14-year-old teams come about?
Well, our 13U coach, Robert, basically how I do it is I say, hey, these are the open positions.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll advertise every age group.
Okay.
And on the flyer, you'll see it as say, need players, need coaches.
Right.
Now, if somebody calls and says, hey, we need, I'd be interested in coaching that 13U team.
Right, right.
So we'll sit down, we'll have a conversation, see where their head's at, see where their background is.
Okay.
And then we'll move forward.
All right.
If they can field the team, then we'll roll with it.
So you've done some cool things, obviously, and obviously your 12U team has become a formidable team. How about your other levels?
I would say...
And you had two 12U teams, too. I forgot to mention
that. Yeah. I always, like you said, it's hard to build a program.
Mm-hmm.
So most of our programs start at single A.
Okay.
I tell them by year two, they need to be moving to double A.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. So BJ Siegler was in here, and he was like, look, single A is meant to be a one-year deal.
Yep.
Like, you're only supposed to be there a year.
And
if you're not, if you're not moving out of it, you know, there's kind of a, there's a problem there.
Yep. So that's kind of what we touch base this year with my coaches.
Mm-hmm.
If you were single A last year, you need to be working to get to that double A level.
Right. Yep.
And I have a great relationship with all my coaches.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that we stride on.
Yep.
Is have that personal friendship relationship, especially in travel ball.
Yeah.
If we can't figure it out, we'll try to figure it out.
Okay. That makes sense. And so apparently you guys just struck a deal with Nike. That's pretty cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. We've been trying to get that deal for 2 or 3 years, but like I said, we haven't had the teams. The big thing with Nike was you got to have this many teams in your organization. Then we'll sit down and we'll have a conversation and see what we can get done. So we struck that deal with them. It's Nike BSN. It's a combo deal there. We get 40%, 50% off all of our gear this year. They gave us $5,000 of Nike bucks for our coaches. So with us being a nonprofit, we can't pay our coaches.
Right.
That's our big thing.
Okay.
So with that sponsorship, we took that $5,000 and said, hey, we're going to take that and we're going to split that through our entire organization.
Okay.
So now all of our coaches get all of their Nike gear totally paid for.
Cool.
So that sponsorship actually helped our coaches out.
Yeah.
And
instead of getting paid, you get something.
Yeah,
you know,
they get all their gear.
Pretty good
deal. So what all is included in that? Are we just talking uniforms or is there helmets and bats? What else?
Anything. So we get 30% off of all Nike stock gear.
Yep.
Anything we want.
Okay.
And then we get 45%, I believe, 40-45% off of all customized gear. So then same thing with BSN. So since it's a Nike BSN deal, we get some portion back from BSN too.
Now, how does Nike do? Because just between you and me, you were always the fly-looking team out there. You had like 27 different uniforms pinstripes and pink. And
yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, you were looking good on the field. Is Nike going to accommodate all your needs there?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some cool stuff rolling out for the uniform options this year. I don't want to touch too much on it. We've got some cool stuff lined up for our kids and our organization for when those uniforms do come in.
That's awesome.
It will be more. It'd probably be over the top, but
it's okay. It's kind of what you do.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
That's what we're expecting.
We'll definitely have the options and it'd definitely be there.
Okay. All right, that's kind of what you do, man. I get that. And look, Rick's son's one of them. It's not as big of a deal to me, but man, these kids want to look good, right? You know, he's always saying you got to look good to play good.
Yeah, yeah, so. and that's our big thing, man. Is if we have it, we have the funds.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. And like you said, if you look good, you play good.
You look good. You feel good. You play good.
And so I definitely have some. I definitely have some of those kids on my team.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah, if they're rocking the gear, man, right. They're gonna play good baseball.
Yeah, man.
Walk out there with some swag.
Yeah.
So all right, man. There's all kinds of things I want to touch on, and as you know, Jalen, this is a Travel Ball podcast to where we try to give value to other coaches, players, parents, the whole thing. Now, one thing you guys do really well, and you must do really well, because you guys travel like crazy.
Yep.
Like, insane to me, the places you guys go. It honestly makes me jealous of all the things you get to go do. But you do a really good job on the fundraising side.
Yep.
So let's start with that. I want to ask you kind of about some tournaments, some things you've been in. But how do you guys get there with the fundraising piece?
So kind of how we do our fundraising is we throw out – which Crystal does a really good job at this. I kind of stay away from the fundraising side of things.
I understand. We've got a mom on our team that's doing it now, which is nice, and she's great.
Yeah, so she does a great job with it. They know the mark that they got to be at. And so basically we don't even schedule our tournaments until our fundraising's done. So when Sean and BJ and all those guys release that stuff in December, we say, hey, this is what we brought in during the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pay for indoor space.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what we have left for tournaments.
Okay.
So when I book my tournaments in December, I pay for them.
Okay.
Right then and there, they get paid for. Which then allows us to say, hey, this is where we're going. This is what we got to pay for.
Okay.
Now, our parents also do that.
So you have this number you're trying to hit.
Yeah. This is our number. This is where we got to be. We'll say, hey, in the past couple of years, the way we've done it is we're going to play local and then we're going to travel.
Mm-hmm.
When you travel... I've heard you talk about it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're like, hey, we're going out of state, and we're going to play double-A baseball. These double-A teams, they could no way that they would compete in our double-A.
I agree, man. We've seen it, too.
And I jokingly tell people, and they look at me like I'm crazy, I think that we have one of the best travel ball markets that I've been to, and we've been a lot of places.
Well, look, our teams bear that out. You know, when our top teams go and play other places, they typically are at the top.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, your Strike goes and wins everything. Your Vipers, Floyd goes and wins everything. Yeah. When Elite's out there playing and whatever they're playing, they're typically winning everything. So, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean,
so, when we look at those tournaments, we want to say, hey, we try to go somewhere different every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, we say, hey, we're gonna play 2 weeks in March. We're going to play 2 weeks in April, three in May, three in June. So each month we're going to try to go somewhere.
Okay.
This year will be a little bit different. We got the Cooperstown experience this year, so we'll probably play a lot local this year and then hit back on travel for 13 years.
So why Cooperstown?
It's the big thing to do when you're 12.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about the Cooperstown experience. If you don't get to do the Little League experience, they say do the Cooperstown experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we've actually been working on that and trying to get into that for a year and a half. Finally got approved and got in. So that's June 28th through July 4th this year. So a lot of our stuff will probably be local.
Is it tough to get in?
They say that you have to do it about a year in advance.
Interesting. Okay.
So we started that March of last year and was going through that during our season and trying to get approved. And
I mean, I don't even know a lot about it. All I know is it's expensive.
Right. $12.95 per player per coach, and then another $12.95 if you can't bring a certified umpire.
What?
Yeah.
You got to bring an umpire?
Yep.
Who's on board for that?
Wow.
So we
okay.
So that's where we're at now.
Okay.
So we're definitely.
Are you bringing an umpire?
No.
Who can do that?
The kids stay in the barracks with the coaches,
okay. Right?
So
that'd be fine.
So that $12.95 pretty much covers everything for them, like
food. It pays for the kids' housing. I think they got like games and stuff set up for them. Their food for three meals a day.
Okay.
Two jerseys, two pairs of pants, two hats, I believe.
Oh, so you're getting jerseys out of this too.
They do all kinds of stuff. Not that we need more jerseys,
right?
But right. And the kids look forward to it.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, the guy, they'd be jacked up. What an experience.
But then your parents still got to travel and, you know, pay for a hotel and
now,
stuff
now, do
like
you
that,
think
right?
all your parents will go?
Yeah. I know a couple of them have talked about getting a house mm-hmm. or something and mm-hmm. to where they can stay.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I look at it is if we're going to go to Florida, you're going to spend $6,000, $7,000 anyway for that Florida trip. So take
– Maybe.
Yeah, which – Yeah, so then you say, all right, well, we're going to take $1,200 and we're going to pay for the kid for the entire week.
Yeah.
So realistically, you have another $2,000 for your family to try to figure out
how to do it.
So it's going to equal out the same. I think it's overwhelming when you say, "Hey, we got to pay this by this month by this
for this
time.
One person."
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh.
"Yeah."
But we do allow our family to do fundraising for it.
Okay, now let's talk about the fundraising. Where have you guys been successful on that front?
The way that the Elite does the fundraising is we make our teams. We make our teams participate in organizational fundraisers. So they'll do the golf scramble, and then they'll do the derby squares.
Okay.
Outside of those two, whatever your team wants to do, that mm-hmm. money goes straight to your team.
Yeah, so you can do whatever.
Yeah. So that basically says, hey, that's bringing in money to the organization for our fields, mm-hmm. so we can keep our fields, get our fields where they need to be. Mm-hmm. But then outside of that, you have no obligation.
Okay.
So our team does a really good job in saying, hey, this is the fundraiser that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the number that we have to be at on this
mm-hmm.
fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take that and we're going to divide that by all of our players.
Okay.
So if it comes out to saying, hey, each player owes $150, you have to sell 15 tickets at $10 a piece, or you have to pay the difference.
Okay.
And that gives parents the options.
Yeah. If they don't want to go fundraise, they don't have to.
Yeah. So they say, okay, well, I know in a month and a half, I'm going to have a $150 tag.
Yep.
Or I can say, hey, I need to go sell these tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives them the option.
Okay.
Now, like some parents will say, hey, I sold half of them. Here's the exactly. other half. Yeah. Put my name on those tickets.
Right.
And then if they win, they're like, yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Okay.
But with our team, we do a really good job of that. So.
No, you guys kill it. And so what is the best trip you guys have taken to date? Because you guys have done a lot.
As far as experience?
Yeah, best experience. Now, don't factor in how you guys played because, you know, that can be here nor there. But as far as if another coach is listening and they're thinking, man, I got an 8U, I got a 9U, we need to start thinking about
where
should we be going?
Should we go to Florida? Should we go to wherever?
Because you guys have done a lot.
I would definitely say for the younger age groups, 9, 10, 11, hit the Peoria. Hit the Louisville Slugger Dome in Peoria. It's fantastic. They host a good tournament up there. Now, as far as playing, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, because you're in a dome.
We just didn't play good.
Yeah, okay.
And we went 5.5 hours away and got smashed.
Okay. That's in a dome. Are you playing that early season when it's cold outside?
Yeah,
so you play in a dome?
So that was, I believe, the first weekend of March.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's... As an adult, it took my breath away.
Really?
So I could only imagine what it is for the kids.
Yeah.
But I think it's 9, 10, and 11. Man, you pull into the ballpark, and there's just fields on like 10, 15 turf fields.
Okay.
And then right in the middle of the parking lot's a big old dome.
Yeah.
So the kids are already stoked.
Right.
You walk in, and you got a Louisville Slugger shop to your left. You got two restaurants on your right.
Wow.
And then you walk through, like, the terminal.
Yeah.
And then it just opens up. You got
this is a big old field?
You got a field over here. You have a field over here. They have hit track, home run derby in the back right corner. And then right in the middle, there's a walkway that they use the Louisville Slugger blow up batting cages.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the kids walk in, man, they're like, oh, this is awesome.
Right.
That's always a good one. And I don't know. I like playing my first tournament away from Louisville.
So yeah. You've always done that.
Yeah. So if we play bad that first tournament, then it doesn't show.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's fine. Yeah. We played bad.
And you get some decent competition under your belt.
Yeah. We're, as far as playing good, the perfect game last year was a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
The World Series down there, they did great job down there. Weather was nice. I mean, when you go to Florida and play baseball, it's always nice.
Yeah, I agree with that. Playing in Florida is fun.
Yeah, but as far as overall experience for the kids and something they're going to enjoy, I would say that Peoria tournament.
Okay, all right. I like that. That's good. So, all right, you hit on something on the coach front that I think is interesting. So, I don't know that many organizations do it like we do, or like our organization. You know, other than us, all the Wolves coaches are paid.
Yeah.
We're the only dad coaches within the program, and it has its advantages. It has its disadvantages. So are most of your coaches dad coaches, or do you have any that are just coaching, just a coach?
Let me think about that one. I think majority of them are dad
coaches. Are dad coaches?
Are dad coaches. I think our coaches do a great job of staying away from that term.
Yeah.
That daddy ball term.
Yeah.
Because you hear it a lot.
Oh, you do, man. You do. And it's and it's a real thing.
Yeah, and you hear it a lot. I think that's one thing I can say about our coaches is I haven't in 4 years had a parent call me and say, hey, he's playing daddy ball. So I salute them for that because I know that that term gets thrown around.
Right? Yep.
But, yeah, I think our 13U just got Max Kane. I played high school with him at Mill, so he's actually helping that 13U team out now.
Great. Well, and you're not a dad coach on your 12U team.
Yeah. Caden, my little brother, and then K2 is my stepson.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, a stepson, that's right. I guess you are a dad coach on that team. That's right.
But outside of that,
yeah,
my son is just now starting in my organization.
Right. Okay.
So for 4 years, it was, hey, I'm going to build it.
Mm-hmm.
Now my son is in my organization, which is really cool.
All right. So we noticed, since you brought him up, that Ford and K2 were playing with a different team this past weekend. How do you feel about that? Now, I know it's just helping a team out. I know it's just being good friends and teammates and all that kind of stuff. But how do you feel about your guys? Because it's, I mean, you're in fall season.
Yeah. When they called and asked, which a lot of coaches will call and ask me.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. Like I said, it's about the relationship. I have a good relationship with a lot of these
guys. You do. I agree with that. Sure.
So they know that they can call me and ask me.
Yeah.
If we're not doing anything, sure.
You're okay with it?
Go ahead. Now, if I say, hey, we got a tournament this weekend or we have a tournament next weekend or he just played school ball, don't pitch him. Don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't start tournament ball for our 12U until the 24th.
Okay.
So right now, only thing that we're doing is league play with you guys on Wednesday night.
Yep.
So my thought process on that was, yeah, go play. Go get the reps. They need help.
Mm-hmm.
So go get it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told them, there's no restrictions. We're not playing this weekend. We might have practice, but use them as needed.
Right.
And then the big thing is I give them the option. A coach will call me, and I'll say, hey, all right, let me talk to them.
Yeah.
And I think it might catch some people off guard. But at the end of the day, if they don't want to play, I'm not going to make them play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, hey, this is the coach that called. He wants to know if you want to play. If they say no, then they're out.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to play with them.
Right.
But if they say yeah, then go play.
Okay. All right. Interesting. But
it just depends on how that 12-year-old's feeling at that point in time.
I get it.
Like, it might not be that they don't like you. It might just be like they're in a bad mood that day.
They just don't feel I don't want to play this weekend.
I just don't want to play this weekend.
Yeah, no, I get that. I was just curious. You know, I'm a little bit territorial on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm just kind of curious how you feel. Well, see, now, obviously, this particular situation isn't a threat at all because it's, you know, I think it's actually a team that's dissolving at the end of the fall anyway, so it's not a big deal. But just curious how you feel about your players being out there kind of playing with other people.
It doesn't bother me. At some point, they're going to play for somebody other than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to look at it that way, but you have to be coachable, especially going into middle school ball. You can't say, hey, I just want to play for this guy. What are you going to do?
All right.
Now, my kids are fortunate, but.
Well, they're going to play middle school ball for you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but when they get to high school, they're going to have to play somewhere else.
Unless you get that high school job.
Talk to me about middle school ball, because this is something that, for me, is different. So my kid's in a private school.
Okay.
We're in a private Catholic school, so middle school ball is not really a thing. There is Catholic school ball, but it's not much. It's not much. And if you have enough teams to do it, it's almost hit or miss whether you even play.
Yeah.
Middle school ball seems to be like something that these kids want to do. And I get, because you get to go play with your friends and show your friends, hey, I got a talent you probably didn't know about.
Put their school name on your shirt.
I get all that, man. And it seems like it's pretty important for some of your TMSs of the world. Your Oldham County teams like to do the middle school ball stuff. So you're going to coach the TMS team.
Yeah, I'll be so this is actually my fourth year. So I'll be sixth grade this year. Like I told you earlier, I've had this conversation a lot lately and people asking me, and I think the easiest way to break it down is travel ball is to get you ready for middle school ball. If that coach is not going...
Wait a minute. Travel ball is to get you ready for middle school ball?
I believe that
middle school ball is more important? More important.
I believe so.
Wow.
And I might be wired different.
All right. Okay? Now, hey, that's cool. I appreciate the vantage point here. But okay.
My approach on it is if you don't make middle school baseball,
yeah,
you're not going to make that high school team. If you don't make – if now, how many college coaches
– Now, do you cut?
Yeah.
How many people do you have come out?
We, in the past couple of years, 16, 17 kids. We'll keep 14. And that's just based off of grades and – I mean, with COVID, we might keep 20 kids this year. Yeah. I don't, with the exposure.
Now,
and that
what's the talent like? Is it as good as travel ball?
It's a lot of travel ball kids. You play a lot of these middle school teams that the kids come up with the travel ball helmets.
Yeah, sure. I get that.
So the talent level is there.
Even in the games?
Even in the games. It's there.
As good as travel ball?
Yeah. So you're going to, being at TMS and you're going to play the Nose, you're going to play the Farnsleys, you're going to play the Crosbys. And,
yeah.
They all have middle school kids.
Right.
They're big schools. I mean, they're
and they know that, hey, even though he has a travel ball tournament this weekend, I can still get 30 pitches out of him. So you figure 30 pitches over six innings, you're going to see two or three pitchers from the travel ball world pitching against you.
Interesting.
My big thing, like I told a parent actually yesterday, was how many of those college coaches are going to call your travel ball coach? It's not going to be likely. So if we can't get them as travel ball coaches, if we can't get them into the middle school world, then they're going to be behind getting into the high school world. The high school world then becomes your market for the college. All right.
So here's the difference here. You're completely opposite when you're talking St. X Trinity, sales.
Yeah.
So they could care less about middle school ball. And quite honestly, they would rather you not play middle school ball.
And just focus on travel.
It's St. X Trinity into sales. Now, I can't speak for your Easterns and your males of the world and your manuals. That may be different.
Yeah.
And you're probably right on with that. But your private schools, they are 100% travel ball, and that is who they're calling.
Like I said, I don't know. I might be wired different.
When you're talking male, I mean, they feed from TMS and Barrett. Yeah. So those are the kids they're looking at.
I understand that.
I get that from if you're not making that middle school team, you're not making it on male. I mean,
the same with Saints and Trinity. They're getting the Catholic school
kids. They're getting the Catholic school kids. And the CSAA really doesn't have a league, so it's...
They try to. It's just, do we have enough kids that are not playing a certain other sport at that point?
Right.
Yeah, and I think with the JCPS, I think a lot of the schools, they're pushing 12, 13 kids, 14 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we haven't had a season in 2 years, so I think this year if we get it off the ground, I think this would be the year that you're like, all right, let's see what we have in the middle school at JCPS.
Now. Yeah, you might get flooded with kids. Yeah, I mean, you might have 100 kids out.
Yeah, we have no idea what to expect.
You know, man, this is interesting. This is an angle I've never really thought about because – as everybody knows, I'm close with Rick Arnold, who's Trinity's head coach, and Rick has always told me, he's like, look, when we get to Talon's age, the 12 year age, when they get to freshman high school, I'm going to lean on you.
Yeah,
he said you're going to have to tell me who can play.
Yep.
Because I'm going to need to know from your experience who we need to be looking at. Because obviously, you know, we're going to do camps and all kinds of different things. But if you know a kid that I need to be looking at, I need to know.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's probably different if you're going to be going to male or an Eastern. It might be a different type of thing. They may be more interested in the middle school ball.
Yeah, and I don't know. I would say, I mean, I know a few of the high school coaches in the public school system. But like I said, I tell my kids all the time, you never know who's watching and when they're watching.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amen to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you might be in a middle school ball and that coach might be sitting up
there. We have that conversation a lot too because it's how you act when you strike out and all that kind of stuff.
But you never know if they're at a travel ball game. You don't know if they're at a
middle school
game.
So-and-so's dad might be a scout for the Reds and just going to watch his son and then he sees you flip out and he's going to be like, well, take that guy off.
Man, that's interesting.
Yeah, you never know, man.
All right. So... Ooh, that's a cool topic. We may have to dive further into that because it's something I never really thought about. All right, we're in the midst of fall ball. As I said, we got a game tonight. Wolves play Elite. How do you approach fall ball? Are you trying to beat us tonight? Or are you trying to get some reps?
You, yes. Anybody else, no.
I figured that was going to be the case.
No, we the way that we go about fall ball is I want you to be uncomfortable. I want you to play a different position. I want you to learn a different position.
Okay.
I want everybody to pitch at least during fall ball.
Yep. I understand that.
Your number one player is probably going to pitch tonight. She's going to get her opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and I think she's ready. She mm-hmm. looks good. But when you get into fall ball, you have to find that gym.
Yep.
You have to say, hey, like Noah Barker, he pitched against the Legends for us. And the only reason I really let him pitch is we had a bet on the McGregor-Poirier fight. He took Poirier, I took McGregor. So he was like, hey.
So I now get, he gets to pitch because he won the bet.
He said, hey, I get to pick the game I pitch in fall ball, and you can't take me out.
I like it.
Oh, wow.
So you pitched him the whole game?
So he threw a 5 2/3 shutout.
Dang.
Good for Noah.
And completely caught me off guard.
Yeah.
So I went out and I talked to him. And
good for him.
He's like, here's the ball. And I said, you have a shutout going, Noah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, you're taking me out, aren't you? No, you have a shutout. Well, I don't want to mess the shutout up.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, all right, come on. But that's what fall ball is about, man. You gotta give them the opportunity to show that they can do different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to
they can surprise you.
Yeah, it goes back to that middle school and high school level, man. When they show up to these tryouts, that coach is going to give you a better look if they say, hey, what position do you play? Hey, coach, I'll play wherever you need.
Oh, that, and we keep stressing. That is so important.
And you can't just go up, I play second base. So well, we have three other second basemen.
Yeah. and that's my big thing. If you ask mm-hmm. anybody on my team, I don't care who it is. If you go up and you ask them, say, hey, what position you play? They're going to say, hey, I can play wherever you need me to.
I made that mistake once in high school. I went to a coach and they said, what position do you play? And I said exactly that. I grew up playing with Chris Burke and was like, all right, Chris Burke. And, you know, he was always shortstop, right? So I never played shortstop because, you know, so, and I played second base. And I said to the guy, I played second base. And they're like, I don't need second base.
Yeah.
I guess we're good.
I got four.
You know,
of those.
And I was like, well, crap. So, you know, you need to be able to go to a coach and say, I play where you need me.
Yeah.
Put me on the field. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just want to be
You want
on
me
the
to
field.
Catch bullpen? I'll catch bullpen just to be a part of it.
Just put me where you need me.
Yep. Because at some point you're going to get your opportunity.
Absolutely.
Well, so you mentioned she. So this sends me on to my next topic is you have a female player who –
which there's not many playing against
who,
the boys.
I'll be honest, I don't think we've run into another team with a female player on it.
I don't think so.
So that's a little unique. And she fits in well, and she's a good player. Have you seen any other females in the –
Not in our age group. I know that I had Abby. She plays for the Dream. She played with us at TMS. And
she held her own at TMS?
She held her own, man. And I think that's the big thing is if they can play, they can play.
Now, did she move on to high school and play softball, or did she stick with baseball?
I believe she made the freshman team at Mayo.
Baseball?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
Is that Malia's goal?
Yeah. And we have the conversation. People ask us all the time is how much longer, how much longer, how much longer. I think if she keeps progression like she has in the past three, four years, I think she'll be just fine.
Yeah.
She just has to find that one coach that's going to give her the chance. I think she's going to hold her own. She plays with that chip, and she's competitive.
All right. Well, let's talk about her future, though, because this is interesting to me. And I do know a couple of high school coaches. Southern coach is a buddy of mine, and he'd love to have her. And, you know, I think that she'll have opportunities in high school for sure. But beyond that, I don't see her going playing college baseball, but she could probably play college softball.
Yeah.
Now, is there a big change? I mean, I would assume it's a little bit of a different game, right?
Yeah, so I don't know what the change would be.
Yeah,
I know,
how does that translate?
You know? I know I've tried to hit a softball, and I can't do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Totally different experience.
Yeah.
It's different. Well, what I'm getting at is it's different. So for her, obviously, she'd have all the tools to go play softball at a collegiate level, I would assume. But it's a different game.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I think it's something that
she could be the first female college baseball player.
Yeah, look,
maybe
I'm not trying to be sexist.
And like I said, I think she's got the tools. She's got the mindset. She's got the work ethic.
Yeah, she's impressed the hell out of me, man. She's always done fantastic.
Yeah, she caught over 200 and something innings for us last year, threw out 30 something kids. which allowed other people on my team just to focus on different positions.
And she bats third for you, which blows my mind.
Yeah, she bats third. She understands, like, I don't have to give her a bunt sign. I don't have to tell her, hey, hit backside.
Mm-hmm.
She'll understand. She knows that, hey, if I've got runners on first and second, no outs, Coach Jalen, he's probably going to steal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's telling me, hey, I got to put this bunt down.
Sure.
Or, hey, I got to hit a ground ball to the second baseman.
Right.
Now, she hates it that I don't let her run, and that's just because I've got Zay and Caden Ford in bat in front of her.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah,
it's not that I'm like, hey, yo, get back in the dugout. Just because one of them, if neither one of them get on.
Yeah, they're running because they're elite super fast speed.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, hey, I'm not
– Yeah.
Way to do your job now.
Yeah.
Now let
them do their job.
Yeah.
So. Huh. All right, so you're obviously big in lessons. I know you've gotten a lot of lessons. You've gotten a lot of lessons to our catcher.
Yeah.
Is that something you're still into? Is that something that you're...
Yeah. The way that I do it now, everything gets done off of the Square appointment app.
Okay.
They just pick the time, the day, and they pay straight from there. So, yeah, I'll keep moving forward.
And you focus on what kind of lessons? You do it all?
Yeah, mostly pitching, catching, and hitting.
Okay.
I do have one or two kids that I say, hey, let's knock out some outfield work or let's knock out some infield work. I always tell people that hitting is easy.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching and the catching is where you got to pick it apart just because by age group.
Yeah.
Especially like a 9-year-old, boom, it's going to be a little bit different than a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a big part of what I'm doing every day is knocking out lessons and getting ready for spring ball.
All right. So before we move on to spring ball, because I want to ask you about that, we had asked coaches in our previous podcast to give us some of their thoughts on what fall ball looks like for them. Rick, if you don't mind sharing what Brian actually had to share, I thought what he shared was awesome. Who's the coach of the, I guess they're 12U Ironman Prime now?
Oh, yeah, the former Stars team.
Yeah, the former Stars team. Who's Triple A team.
Coach
great. Yeah, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, man, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah,
awesome
great team. Guy.
Yeah, I have the text, but I forget exactly what he said, but he was basically like, you know, we're going to pitch everybody. We know we're going to take our lumps sometimes, but we got to give everybody an opportunity. Kind of like what you said, you know, you're going to win some games. You're going to lose some games.
You're going to lose some games that you wouldn't have lost. Yeah.
Maybe that you wouldn't have or that you shouldn't have. And maybe some people say, oh, my gosh, they lost to them, really. But
well, the reason
you're pitching a very inexperienced pitcher. And
well, you guys lost a fall game you probably wouldn't have lost because of who you were pitching.
I wouldn't say that. We only threw one pitcher that really doesn't pitch. Now, it might have cost us one or two runs, but for the most part, Cam pitched. Cam throws on the weekends for us. Mm-hmm. Hung a curveball, kid put a stick on it, put it in the trees.
That might be a different game than I'm talking about. You're talking
about ELS.
I'm talking about the ELS.
Oh, well, yeah, man, those Orgy kids can hit, man.
Yeah, yeah, man, he roped it.
Throw him a hang.
Yeah,
yeah, they're going to knock it out of the park on you.
But outside of that, no, I wouldn't say for the most part. But like Coach Brian said, you're going to take your lumps.
Mm-hmm.
Just you got to find the gym. Mm-hmm. You got to say, hey, who's going to surprise me this year? We were pretty good.
I love the Noah Barker thing.
Yeah, we were pretty good last year.
That's awesome.
And we feel comfortable with what we have, but now we need somebody else to surprise us. Hey, right. Somebody step up and surprise us.
So what's your goal this year for level, and what are y'all trying to do for the spring?
Well, I guess the goal every year is to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be stuck in the same position, which, like I said, our double-A here in Louisville is pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get stuck in double-A, we get stuck in double-A.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you get to this age group, you're working towards getting bumped.
Same. And that's our goal. You know, our goal is to be a Triple A team. And I feel like we will be at some point.
Yeah.
Now, it's tough. And we're in a situation right now where we kept everybody we had. I know you guys are doing some small roster movement. And, you know, I think we're always trying to better our team here or there.
Yeah.
Add pitching depth, which is something everybody needs to compete, especially as you move up into higher levels. So from a spring perspective, And I've talked to other coaches about this, Jalen. So how did you look at, like, tryouts as far as who you kept, who you didn't? Did you have a plan going into that? Were you going to – was everybody potentially on the chopping block, depending on who was going to come back? I mean, how'd that look for you?
No. We gave our kids the option this year.
Every single one of them?
Every single one of them. I think with 38 and 16 last year and tournament ball, there's really not a need really to change anything. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Was that your old record?
38 and 16 is what we went
in, was our record
in tournament play.
We had the same exact
record. So don't change it.
Interesting.
Now, like you said, when you start preparing for that extra level,
mm-hmm.
you have to look at certain things.
You do, because you got to be, because you got to have that extra arm. Yeah, or those.
You can't say, "Hey, we're going to go into AAA ball."
Yeah,
and we're gonna take 11 kids with 5 pitchers,
right?
And then on top of it, some of these kids are going to be pitching during the week, twice a week.
Yeah.
So then that's like, I think me and Chad talk more than anybody in this world.
Yep.
But that's kind of the conversation that me and Chad had. It says, so what do we add? We got to add arms. We know we have to add arms.
Well, and look, so this was going to be my next topic, because you had a couple kids that we were blown away by how many pitches we seen him pitch.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, he's thrown that kid a lot. Yeah. And I know a little bit of that was out of necessity.
Yeah.
But, man, and you backed it up with, look, we've done some arm care. We've done some things where we feel comfortable with it, which I totally respect that. But, man, we saw some numbers of some of your guys pitching because you're playing a lot because you're winning.
Yeah, right.
And as if you keep it
more managing games into, you play,
You know,
that's kind of one thing that we do. Like, a lot of teams, they start their winter workouts or their winter practices like October or November. We really don't dive into our practices until February.
Okay.
So November and December, we do straight conditioning. Mm-hmm. We don't even pick up a baseball. Mm-hmm. We find somewhere and we do 2 months of conditioning.
Okay.
January, our pitchers and our catchers report. Now, you say pitchers and catchers report, everybody's going to pitch.
Pretty much
so
everybody.
Everybody shows up. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Hey, coach, I don't pitch." Well, you're still going to come try. Because at some point, you got to, like I said, mm-hmm. I keep going back, you got to find the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they do heavy balls for a month and a half. They do their band workout twice a week for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They do all that stuff to where we know we can say, "Hey, you're going to throw 2 innings on Saturday, but then I've got you for 6 on Sunday."
All right, man. Here's the thing, Jalen. I hear what you're saying on the middle school ball, and I understand your viewpoint on it as far as if you can't make that middle school team, you can't make your high school team. Your middle school team isn't doing 2 months of conditioning.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's a different level with this stuff.
They're showing up in February.
And playing baseball.
And playing baseball in March. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a totally different deal.
Yeah. It has its perks. And then, like you said, with pitching.
But these travel balls, kids, they're going to school somewhere.
Right.
So they're going to be
that.
Available to play on a school team.
And they're getting all that from the travel ball side. Right. I understand it has
it's
just more like a conglomerate of like an all-star team.
Yeah,
or something like that.
It has so many ins and outs to it, man. It'll give you a headache trying to think about it.
I know.
That's the stuff that I run into is I'm trying to figure out my 12U situation. And then on top of it, building a 7U team. Now it's like, all right, now we got to figure out what we're going to do for middle school ball. Are we going to have middle school season or?
All right. So you're going to end up with a bunch of players here. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag here, but how do you handle playing time?
The way that we do it is we want to get to the point this year to where we can say, "Hey, you just pitched, come out, rest." So now I'm not going to shift my defense around.
So you pitch 2-3 innings, you're out for the rest.
Yep. Come back, play next game, play a different position.
Okay, now when you do that, are you roster batting or are you actually subbing the kid out?
No, we sub out. So on Saturday, we had 11. We'll bat 10 on Saturday. We'll say that 11th kid, that's going to be our sub. Normally I try to keep it to somebody that is base paths smart, just so that they're getting their playing time by running for my pitcher and my catcher. And then they get subbed into the game. On Sundays, we always only bat 9. I didn't have no problem out of my parents this year.
You only hit 9 on Sundays?
Only hit 9 on Sundays.
We roster batted every single game last year. 11. We never did anything less.
Last year was our first year of only batting 9 on Sundays. My parents know that I'm not going to sit their kid an entire game.
Just because, so you're going to play somebody somehow, some way.
Yeah, we've got so much versatility. I believe this year that we can say, hey, you go play the infield. Next game you might be playing the outfield. So I think that's the big thing. They understand that we're here to teach the game, and we're also here to win games.
Right.
So I think that's our big thing. Nobody's not going to play.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's going to pitch his number one starter on Saturday and then sit him the rest of the game? Is that what I heard?
So we won't see K2 or Ford, right?
I think this year
I'm going to call him out.
I don't want to throw him on Saturday, especially if there's a middle school game.
Yeah.
Give them that extra day of rest and then have them on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might play their position on Saturday. But that's a bullet that we're going to have to bite, is if they struggle in the second inning of a game, well, then when we sub them out, then we lose the stick.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there, I guess, right?
that's interesting. Yeah, all right. We'll figure it out. I'm curious because we have 12 right now, and we had 13 at one point. 13, to me, was rough.
It's scary.
It was rough because of how many kids you had to sit at one point. And then we've got parents saying, well who's going to get the short end of the stick here on playing time? And, you know, for us, we're a little bit different on how our organization works because you just pay a fee. And we are doing some fundraising. A lot of our teams in the Wolves do not.
Yeah.
You just pay a fee and you go.
Yep.
So I think parents expect the kids to play. You know, we've paid this fee and we want our kid out on the field. And we try to do everything we can to get the kids out on the field. However, as we continue to progress and get better as a team and move up in levels, some kids are going to start playing less. And there's some kids that are going to be better batters and may have to DH more. There's some kids that are better defenders that aren't going to hit as much. And you just got to use kids to their strengths.
You get into those PO situations.
POs. I mean, that comes at probably 13, 14, I would imagine.
Yeah, and this is the year. I tell everybody, this is the year you figure out really what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you fall behind this year, the next 2 years, you move base pass and you move mountain.
Yeah, it's not getting any easier.
Right. So this is the year you really have to sit down as a coach and figure out what you have.
Amen.
And if this is the year that we fall behind, it's going to be a long next 2 years.
Yep, no doubt about it. So you can't fall behind.
Yeah.
So,
but then like I said, it goes back to that middle school thing. When you got 13, 14 kids on a middle school roster, you're not always going to play.
All right, I want to let you address something here. You may or may not know this, but there's a bit of a stigma out there about how you may try to potentially recruit a kid off another team. So I know that's not the case, but I want you to kind of be able to talk to that a little bit.
I have never called a family and told them to leave any type of situation that they're in in 4 years. Now, if a kid shows up to my tryout without being called, he's fair game.
Heck yeah.
Well, yeah.
So I think that's where sometimes it gets misconstrued.
Heck yeah, he's fair game.
Is if they show up and they're good enough to play, I'm going to take them.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, if they don't show up, they're not getting a phone call from me. Yeah. They're not getting a text message from me.
Right.
Or if their parent calls me and asks some questions, I'll tell them the information.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to say, hey, yeah, come on.
Mm-hmm.
No. You don't. I'm not offering anybody a spot on my team until they show up to try it.
How do I want to put this? I want to say this politically. How much loyalty do you have to the kids that have stuck with you? Maybe their talent might be a little bit less than a kid that may show up on your doorstep. Do you potentially look at that and try to make your team as best as it can be moving forward? Or do you stick with kids who have stuck with you?
It's a little bit of both. I do have a loyalty to the kids that have stuck and to the kids that gave me a shot. If it wasn't for that shot or that opportunity, who knows
where you wouldn't have the team or the program.
Who knows where I'm at now?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You also build. So, like, our motto in our elite organization is family.
Mm-hmm.
This is a family organization. We might not know you when you come in,
mm-hmm.
but when you leave, we're going to be
you're
family.
Part of the family. Yeah, I get that.
And that goes for the kids that are no longer with me.
Yeah.
They know that, hey, if I see you at the ballpark, I don't have no hatred for you.
Right.
I'm going to come watch you play. I'm still going to talk to your parents. I'm still going to ask you how you did.
Yeah.
And that's just, I guess, what kind of person I am.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a breakup.
Yeah.
It's going to sting at first.
Right.
But then after a couple of weeks, then we'll get back to being family. Because it's not all about baseball all the time.
Well, all right. And that's going to lead me to kind of my outro here, Jalen. And thank you for doing this because this has been awesome. It's interesting. Between our two teams, we've played each other a lot.
Yeah.
So we saw each other in tournaments. It seemed like we always had to play you guys in a tournament, and then we also played. We're always in leagues together. What's really cool to me is I feel like our two teams get along.
Yeah.
So your guys watch, cheer for us when we're not playing each other.
Oh man, that state game was crazy.
Yeah,
they were like, "Can we go up there and watch and cheer them on?" I'm like, "I don't care. Go for it."
Yeah.
I mean,
our kids have done the same, and it's pretty cool. And I think our kids see that, you know, we get along with your coaching staff and vice versa, and it's just, you know, and they know that. Look, it doesn't have to be a hatred thing. Now, look, don't get it twisted. We're both trying to win when we roll the ball out there.
Yeah.
But you know, there can be some camaraderie
in this
thing, and I want to stress
that's when
that.
It's awesome. That's when it's that's when it's the best.
Look,
we can coach and be competitive,
right,
and still be respectful and still be friends. I think it might get construed differently. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure,
hey, this coach is trying to do this. This coach is no. We're trying to teach our kids. After the game, I'm still going to like you.
Yeah.
No matter what you do,
right,
you can beat me by 40, 45. You can steal.
Yeah.
The only way that's going to be the only way my kids learn.
Right.
Hey, this guy, he's still stealing bases, and we're getting beat by 30.
Yeah.
Really? But then next time, maybe they'll do something different.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that type of person that's going to be frustrated. I might be a little frustrated, but I'm not going to be mad at you.
Yeah, I get that. And what I want to do is I want my 9-year-old head coach self to hear this a little bit, because there is some coolness. And like Rick just said, that's when it's fun. That's when it's cool. I am so competitive and want to win at all costs. I also want to make sure some of these younger coaches hear that, look, there's some cool parts to that. You know, being cool with some of these other teams, even though you want to beat them,
right?
You know, there's some value to that too. So don't lose.
Yeah,
just because you lose to a team doesn't mean they're a jerk. I hate them.
Right.
You know,
the travel ball world is built on strictly relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the relationship. You can't be hated. Now I know there's some people that hate me and hate the way that I do things, but for the most part, I have a lot of good relationships.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you got to have that, because when that coach says, hey, we need somewhere for so-and-so to go, or we trust you, we like the way that you do things.
Right.
Or, hey, I mean, can we get a scrimmage?
Well, just like the kids. You never know who's watching.
Yeah.
You know, you never know who's watching also how you're coaching.
Yeah.
And if you're potentially wanting to better your roster and get another kid in, some family might say, I've seen that coach.
Yeah,
no way my kid's playing for that guy.
Yeah.
You know, stuff
that's
like that.
That's a really good point.
Yep.
Haters are going to hate, right?
Yeah. You got to roll with the relationships.
All right. Favorite drill?
Coach Arnold and Wheatley beat me to the four corners,
okay,
man.
All right.
We strive off the four corners.
How do you do it? Walk me through it. I want to hear how you do it.
So we line up in just a rectangle box. We'll throw and we run, and then we'll flip and we'll throw and then we'll flip. But we're following the ball, and then we expand it. We'll throw, and then we'll do, I call it the figure eight. You better run. If you don't run, you're going to get hit. So we'll throw across, they'll run across. Ball comes here, we're throwing across, and we're figure eighting it.
Dang, that sounds dangerous.
And well, we do it because when you're indoors or you're getting loose, most of the time they're playing. When they're just going to sit there and play catch.
Right.
They're not really getting loose.
Right.
So we do it as a form of conditioning. We know that you're getting tired.
Right.
So now you got to focus. And if you don't catch it or make the throw, I'm adding a sprint anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it definitely makes them. And that's probably one of the good drills we do. As far as hitting goes, we play a base hit game. Especially when we're in a cage, make them think a little bit more. You can't hit. You got to hit it, but you can't hit the turf or the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't hit the top of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Each side is 1 point. L screen's 1 point. Back of the net's 3 points. And we're going to play the first one to 21.
I like that.
So a lot of my kids have turned into line drive hitters.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on hitting those line drives in the cage. It's like, all right, now we're working on that stuff.
I like that.
Don't roll over and don't pop it up.
Yeah.
Hit a line drive somewhere. Then they start getting real competitive. They're like, oh, I'm at 19.
Yeah.
If I hit it to the back, I win. And then they pop it up, and I'm like, yeah, all right, you're out.
That's good.
You're out. So they really enjoy it.
That's good. That's a good one.
Make it competitive.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, man. I can't thank you enough for being a part of this.
Yep.
This is your last chance. I think this is your last chance for the Easton Hype Bat Giveaway.
Oh, I got to get in on that.
Yeah. So come on, man. But you guys go to the link. It'll be under the podcast. Just put your information in. Once again, Guardian Baseball. Have you used Guardian for anything?
Just recently I have, actually.
They're good, man.
Yeah. So just recently I've stepped out and got taken care of.
All right. Yeah, they're like I said, they're awesome, man. They're good people. They do a fantastic job. They're baseball people. So check out guardianbaseball.com. If you use the promo code Kentuckiana Travel Ball, you'll get an additional 15% off. Thank you for listening to, I don't even know, Rick, we've done a ton of these
episode,
now.
Episode, who knows?
I don't know, man, but our guest list is pretty impressive when you kind of go through the whole thing. But thank you for listening. If you do listen through Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star. It helps us get it out to more people. We'd love for you to give us that 5-star review. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.